Chapter 31. A short air-car trip brought Arthur and the old Magrathian to a doorway. They left the car and went through the door into a waiting room full of glass-topped tables and plexiglass awards. Almost immediately, a light flashed above the door at the other side of the room, and they entered. "Arthur, you're safe!" a voice cried. "Am I?" said Arthur, rather startled. "Oh, good." The lighting was rather subdued, and it took him a moment or so to see Ford, Trillian, and Zaphod sitting round a large table, beautifully decked out with exotic dishes, strange sweetmeats, and bizarre fruits. They were stuffing their faces. "What happened to you?" demanded Arthur. "Well," said Zaphod, attacking a boneful of grilled mussel, "our guests here have been gassing us and zapping our minds and being generally weird, and have now given us a rather nice meal to make it up to us. Here," he said, hoiking out a lump of evil-smelling meat from a bowl, "have some vegan rhino's cutlet. It's delicious, if you happen to like that sort of thing." "Hosts," said Arthur. "What hosts? I don't see any..." A small voice said, "Welcome to lunch, Earth creature." Arthur glanced around and suddenly yelped. "Ugh!" he said. "There are mice on the table!" There was an awkward silence as everyone looked pointedly at Arthur. He was busy staring at two white mice sitting in what looked like whiskey glasses on the table. He heard the silence and glanced around at everyone. "Oh," he said with sudden realization. "Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't quite prepared for..." "Let me introduce you," said Trillian. "Arthur, this is Benji Mouse."
"Hi,"
said one of the mice. His whiskers stroked what must have been a touch-sensitive panel on the inside of the whiskey-glass-like affair, and it moved forward slightly. "And this is Frankie Mouse." The other mouse said, "Pleased to meet you," and did likewise. Arthur gaped. "But aren't they..." "Yes," said Trillian. "They are the mice I brought with me from the Earth." She looked him in the eye, and Arthur thought he detected the tiniest resigned shrug. Slati Bartfast coughed politely.
Excuse me," he said.
"Yes, thank you, Slati Bartfast," said Benji Mouse sharply. "You may go."
"What? Very well," said the old man, slightly taken aback. "I'll just go and get on with some of my fjords, then."
"Ah, well, in fact, that won't be necessary," said Frankie Mouse. "It looks very much as if we won't be needing the new Earth any longer."
He swiveled his pink little eyes.
"Not now that we have found a native of the planet who was there seconds before it was destroyed."
"What?"
cried Slati Bartfast, aghast.
"You can't mean that. I've got 1,000 glaciers poised and ready to roll over Africa."
"Well, perhaps you can take a quick skiing holiday before you dismantle them," said Frankie acidly.
"Skiing holiday?" cried the old man. "Those glaciers are works of art. Elegantly sculpted contours, soaring pinnacles of ice, deep, majestic ravines. It would be sacrilege to go skiing on high art."
"Thank you, Slati Bartfast," said Benji firmly. "That will be all."
"Yes, sir," said the old man coldly. "Thank you very much." "Well, goodbye, Earthman," he said to Arthur. "Hope the lifestyle comes together."
With a brief nod to the rest of the company, he turned and walked sadly out of the room. Arthur stared after him, not knowing what to say.
"Now," said Benji Mouse, "to business."
Ford and Zaphod clinked their glasses together.
"To business," they said.
"I beg your pardon," said Benji.
Ford looked round. "Sorry, I thought you were proposing a toast," he said.
The two mice scuttled impatiently around in their glass transports. Finally, they composed themselves, and Benji moved forward to address Arthur.
"Now, Earth creature," he said, "the situation we have in effect is this. We have, as you know, been more or less running your planet for the last 10 million years in order to find this wretched thing called the ultimate question."
"Why?" said Arthur sharply.
"No, we already thought of that one," said Frankie, interrupting. "But it doesn't fit the answer. Why? 42. You see, it doesn't work."
"No," said Arthur. "I mean, why have you been doing it?"
"Oh, I see," said Frankie. "Well, eventually, just habit, I think, to be brutally honest. And this is more or less the point. We're sick to the teeth with the whole thing, and the prospect of doing it all over again on account of those whinnet-ridden Vogons, quite frankly, gives me the screaming heebie-jeebies, you know what I mean? It was by the merest lucky chance that Benji and I finished our particular job and left the planet early for a quick holiday, and have since manipulated our way back to Magrathea by the good offices of your friends. Magrathea is a gateway back to our own dimension," put in Benji. "Since when," continued his murine colleague, "we have had an offer of a quite enormously fat contract to do the 5D chat show and lecture circuit back in our own dimensional neck of the woods, and we're very much inclined to take it.